Hallelujah. With that, let me move quickly into our special guest speaker today. Couple of thoughts. Kahu has been on at Kahana Door of Faith for 14 years, I think. Is that a good number? I think, okay, 15, 18, something like that. Now, if you haven't met Kahu before, you'd find it interesting that he lives off the grid. He lives back in the valley where his family roots are on Maui. It's not easy to get to him. And he's known to be a pretty independent kind of guy where he does his own roofing. He does his own electrical systems. He does his own coconut tree cutting. He does his own banyan tree cutting. He harvests fish from the river that runs under his house. He eats rabbits that come from the mainland. He's a wild man at heart. After 30-plus years in ministry on the mainland, he came home to Hawaii. And, no more sheep. Goats. They got goats over there, right? And his Kenda is very proficient with the long gun, right? We have we've watched him in ministry for the last 13, 14 years in Kahana, and the church has been blessed by them, organized, structured in love. I'm not sure, is anybody here from Kahana Door of Faith? Were you able to see? One of the things he does, he sends out a newsletter to 2,000 or 3,000 people, but nobody follows him where they go, because he kind of doesn't tell them where he's going. You know, he just disappears one Sunday, and he blesses the people that he comes in contact with. Friday, he spoke to us about the birth of Jesus. We spent 2 days looking at Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 as pastors and leaders. Many of you were invited. Many of you had other things to do, but we were blessed. And I know he has something very special for us today. It has to do with pillars, if I remember correctly, right? Five pillars. And you said it was only going to be 10 minutes, right, is what you said. So who's got a stopwatch? We're not going to do that. The Lord is going to bring us a word that I am confident you have never heard the word of God preached or taught this way. So would you give the Lord a clap offering for our brother? Kahu, come, brother.
This is your microphone. I love you.
When Pastor Chris spoke in Hawaiian, aloha ka ko mai, komo mai, right? I thought it was at Pentecost. Remember when the disciples spoke in different languages and the people of those countries heard it in their own language? They're like, oh, brother, you guys are speaking tongues now. That was one. And he did it with great precision, right? Praise the Lord. I want to be part of Pakistan. Wow. Let's see. I have two superpowers. Two. One is I have a great memory. The second one is, what was it? What was the second one? I forgot. It's on the tip of my tongue, but you know what? Yeah. You know, when I grew up in Nanakuli. Yeah. Golden Hawks, Eya Eya, Okaleo. Back there, yeah. And I went to Nanaikapono Elementary School. In the fifth grade, we started studying geography. U.S. geography. And we had to learn the capitals of every state. And I thought I was the smartest kid in the class. And to prove that I can tell you the capital of every state, someone yell out a state. Somebody. Oregon. Oh. Okay. Another one. Huh? Texas, T. New Jersey, N. I can go on forever. Capital T, capital C, capital H, V for Virginia. That's why the teacher gave me F for Florida. Yeah, I was like, wow, she failed me. But I was the guy that graduated from Nanakuli, and God did some miraculous things in my life, but none more than when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I graduated from Nanakuli in 1976, Nanakuli was not one of the most bright schools. In fact, it was always in last place when it came to 258 public schools in Hawaii. And when I graduated, I saw my friend Michael Chun, and he said, "Hey, congratulations on graduating." And I said, "Oh, Mike, you know that thing that they gave me called a diploma? That's the most worthless piece of paper." And he told me something in Hawaiian. He said, "Shut up." Oh, brah. Put the gloves on. And he said, "I teach a GED class, and all my students will kill to get what you've got. That's your ticket." And it was that day I became a learn-it-all, not a know-it-all. That's what you need to be. When you get into the Bible, become that learn-it-all instead of a know-it-all. We can quit now. My wife said after we did all the prayers, she said, "How do you follow that?" I'm not following that. I'm going to flow with that. Right? You don't follow the river. You jump in and flow with it. And it'll take you somewhere. So for me, today we're going to flow. The five pillars of the Old Testament. Five. And in about, Pastor John said 10. How about we do 15? Oh, everybody, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all you got to know is these five pillars, and you will know more than 99% of the Christians in America. And you'll do it in 20 minutes. You do it in 20 minutes. So today, listen with your eyes. And see with your ears. Oh, that was powerful. Yeah. He who has ears, let him see. And who has eyes, let him hear. But you're going to stay with me. You guys ready? Let's go. Okay. Follow me. See the speaker up here? That's going to be pillar one. That's Abraham. Who's pillar number one? Abraham. Hey, back row, who's pillar number one? Abraham. See, we finally got the back row. It was an echo. But we got that. Abraham, who is he? He's a pillar. I love that. He's a pillar. He's the first pillar. I love you guys already. Well, we're flowing now. He was the first Jew. And he came out of Ur, the Babylonian area, by the Persian Gulf. And he left Ur because God said to him, he said, "Abraham, leave this place." Now, why would you leave Ur when you're one of the wealthiest people in Ur? This is where you were born. This is where you your whole life. Your father was from there. This father, you're a Chaldean. You're from Ur. And God said, hey, Abraham, I need you to leave here because I'm going to take you somewhere you've never been before. That's God, right? And he says to Abraham, he says, and Abraham goes, what's the incentive? Why am I going when I have everything here? I belong to a great city. I belong to a great empire. Why am I leaving Ur? What's the incentive, Lord? And this is what the Lord says. Hey, you live in a great empire. You live in a great country. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make you a great nation. Out of you, nations will come. Isn't that a great incentive? To leave? And out of you, out of your offspring, I will bless the world. And this is what Abraham goes. He goes, let's go. Let's go. What's stopping you? God is calling me missions. But you know what? Let's go. Get out. And the people that followed him, you think they wanted to go? No. Oh, man, I shouldn't stay too long with this because we got 15 more minutes. But he went. And when he crossed over the Euphrates and went to Haran, and God said, let's go, because his father settled. People settle on their journey. You do not want to settle. That is not a good word. Let's go. And when he went, continued on the journey, he came to this river called Jordan. We call it the Jordan. It was the Michael Jordan. Seriously. And he had to go over it. And the moment he went over it, that's when everything changed. It didn't change so much when he left, or it changed when he crossed over. You know the word crossover is the word iber in the Hebrew. And the word iber, that's where you get the word Hebrew. He was the first Hebrew when he crossed over. You became a believer when you crossed over. Like Abraham. We all crossed over. Iber. If you didn't cross over, I'm so sorry. And some of you here this morning, you never crossed over. I tell you something about the Lord. Whenever he has you to go somewhere, you're always going to be going over something. Always. You're going to be crossing over. You want to go to the next level? Crossover. Next level? Crossover. And that's Abraham. Okay, pillar number two, because I know I smell chicken hecka downstairs. See this one here, this screen? That's Moses. Moshe. He was the one that wrote the Torah, right? The five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. And he tells about the laws. He's the one that led the people out of Egypt. He's the person that got the Ten Commandments and all of that. We're just doing review. But he's the second pillar. Now let's go to the third pillar. See the cross? That's King David. King David. And David is a man after God's own heart. And King David, interesting about this guy, he's mentioned in the New Testament a bunch of times. So who's the first? And who's the second pillar? And who's the third? Okay, let's see this screen here. It's not a person, it's actually a thing, the temple. Everybody loves the temple. Solomon's temple. But when you mention the temple, you also kind of gets very close with David because he had a son named Solomon. And Solomon built the temple. What's important about this, when you look at the books of the Bible, Abraham will cover the book of Genesis. Moses will be covering the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, even Joshua, maybe even Judges. And then when you come to King David, you're talking about Ruth. And then you're talking about the Psalms, and you're talking the Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles, and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. See, all the Bibles are now being listed under all the pillars. And that's King David. And when you come to the temple, that's Solomon. So you have the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Lamentations. Wow. But that's the fourth pillar. This one right here, this speaker, that's the Babylonian captivity. Did you know that almost 19 books out of the 39 in the Old Testament are written in that time period? Half of the Old Testament is written right there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Esther, Nehemiah, Malachi, the Italian writer. You say Malachi, I say Malachi. Haggai, Obadiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Jonah, all these. So half of the Old Testament is right over there. Pillar number five. Let's go back. Who's number one? Second? Third? Fourth? And the fifth? Hey, you just got the whole Old Testament. And I still got about 10 minutes to spare. An hour? Oh. Isn't it amazing? You know more about the Old Testament in 15 minutes than most Christians today. Am I done? Are you crazy? Pastor John said, do another hour. I don't think I can. I'm going to have to tag somebody, like wrestling. I went for one more, and it's not a pillar. But let me choose some. Pastor Tim. Everybody look at Pastor Tim. No. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Now let's go back. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. And Jesus. Now, when you look at timelines, a lot of the timelines and the dates that we write down is just guesstimates. Just guesstimates. And somebody did that. Now, watch this. From pillar one to pillar two, how many years? Between pillar one and pillar two, how many years is being covered? 500. Right? 500 years. Between Moses and David, how many years? 500. How many years between David and the Babylonian captivity? 500 years. How many years between the Babylonian captivity and Tim? 500. 500, 500, 500, 500. You know more about the Old Testament right now than most Christians. In other words, from the time of Abraham to Jesus Christ, 2,000 years went by. And from Jesus Christ to us today, 2,000 years just went by. 4,000 years of faith. We're not a new religion. We're 4,000 years old, and we'll be 5, 6 to eternity. Praise the Lord. One more time. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. And Tim. And how many years between? 500. You've been great students. The first commandment in the Bible is not to love. That's the great commandment. The first commandment in the Bible is to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. And you shall love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. You know, I fought God. You go ahead and fight God. I encourage you to fight God. But when you're laying on your back, because this is what happened. When I was coming up from the basement past that corner, I was looking at that plaque on the corner. How many of you know what I'm talking about, the plaque right up there? Have anyone read it? And this is what it says. It says the church here was established, right? What was the date? Yeah, but what was the day? April 12th. I was talking to Deb earlier. April 12th, 1937. And then it was chartered, what year? 3 years later, April 12th, 1940. 88 years was established, 85 years to today. You know what happened? You know what else happened on April 12th, 2025? I was on the roof, and I fell through the roof, and I landed on my back, and I couldn't come to conference on April 12th. I will never forget April 12th. But that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And I stand before you. I stand before you as teaching yesterday and today. Because this is what God, I go back to seminary. Did I say something about seminary? Okay. Because, you know, I love God. I'm a minister. We're supposed to do that. And what happened was, the denomination I belong to required the masters of divinity to be ordained. And I remember arguing with the committee of ordination. And I said, hey, why do I have to go to seminary? I got passion. I got soul. And, you know, I was arguing with them. And they said, yeah. You go into seminary. And I went to seminary, and a professor by the name of Dr. Asa, he was the convocation speaker. And I remember sitting in that chair, the pews in the chapel, and I was fighting God. I said, why am I here? I don't know why I'm here. You know, I don't need all of this stuff. And Dr. Asa, first words out of his mouth, gentlemen, you're wondering why you're here today. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Why am I here? And this is what he said. I know you love God with your heart. I know that you love God with your soul. And I know that you love God with your mind, with your strength. But in the next 3 years, you will love God with your mind. Well, that answered that question. And for 3 years, I loved God with my mind. We as Hawaiians, we're the most literate nation in the world. What happened? We stopped loving God with our minds. And instead of being in first place, we end up in last place. Pastor John talked about traveling. How many of you been to the Sistine Chapel in 1, 2, 3, 4? Wow. You know what I'm talking about, the Sistine Chapel? It's where Michelangelo painted the thing on the ceiling, and there's a picture of Adam, and his finger is like this, and God's finger is trying to touch him, but they never touch. They're very close. So one day, this doctor from Indiana, I think we'll just call him Frank. Frank, who is a doctor in Indiana, went to see the Sistine Chapel for the first time. And he's looking at that painting at the Sistine Chapel of God's finger pointing and Adam's finger and all about to touch. And he looked at that and he was curious. And he kept staring at that. And he was part of a tour. And they said, oh, we got to go to the next. And he said, yeah, you guys go. There's something about this painting that is bothering him. And he looked at it. And when he got back to Indiana, he went into his office, pulled out a transparency. And he began to trace the human brain. And when he took that transparency of the human brain, he saw the picture of the Sistine Chapel. And he placed it over the picture where God and Adam was about to touch fingers. And sure enough, it was the picture of the human brain. And he concluded that God's gift to the human was the mind. So what am I saying? Love God with your mind. Love him with your heart. Love him with your strength. And love him with your soul. The first commandment. Or the great commandment. Pillar one. Pillar two. Pillar three. Pillar four. Pillar five. Pastor Tim. How many years? How many years? How many years? Mahalo.
I don't do this very often, but this is very special. Now, how many of you have ever been in a church service where the pastor spoke for 12 minutes? All of you? Nobody. How about for 20 minutes? You guys go 20-minute church? We're accustomed to 1 hour, so we still got half an hour to go. Okay, no. We're going to do something different. In a moment, yeah, they're going to come, but in a few minutes, we're going to take a tour of the churches. I'm going to have Pastor Choi Lan come up, and she's going to take us so that you can see each one of the pastors before we go downstairs. But before we do that, I want you to get to know Kahu just a little bit better. So I know many of you would like to talk to him, but we were talking this morning, so this is a little get-to-know-you kind of time, okay? You served in two country churches in Indiana.
Yes.
After seminary, I believe.
During.
Okay, so you were a part-time student and a part-time minister. And you told me you lived between two country churches that were, you were in the middle, about 8 miles from one and how many miles from the other?
Four.
Okay. Were those two churches denominational?
Yes.
What was the denomination?
Churches of God General Conference from Findlay, Ohio.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes.
Churches of God of General Ohio. Conference. General what?
Conference.
Conference from Findlay, Ohio.
Yes.
What inspired you to go to that place?
What, that church?
No, the seminary.
They forced me to.
No. who is
John,
they?
John,
how did that come about?
Were you not listening?
No, they didn't force you. They forced you to go to a seminary, but you ended up at that one.
Well, actually, I was planning to go to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
How many of you know Louisville, Kentucky? Raise your hand. Okay, here's my question, real quick. How do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky, Louisville or Louisville?
Yeah.
It's Frankfurt.
You didn't answer my question.
Okay, what was the question?
Now, you graduate from Nanakuli.
Yeah, okay.
You worked for 12 years in you were a longshoreman.
Yeah. So, actually, I left Nanakuli, went to Fort Wayne Bible College, studied 4 years, then went down to Southern Indiana, got my master's. That took another 4 years, and then did my doctoral work in Ohio.
How did you choose Fort Wayne, Indiana to go to Bible
college? I was part of the missionary church movement. And you see some missionary churches on Oahu. And I grew out of that. Nana Ikapono Protestant Church was the Nana Ikapono Missionary Church. And the pastors, a lot of them graduated from Fort Wayne. And I could have been with Bell and Howell. I could have been a volleyball player. I used to look like Bruce Lee when I was growing up. Yeah. Why are you laughing? But now I look like Sarah Lee.
So I'm tracing this.
Now, okay.
You graduated from Nanakuli High School.
Yes.
You were going to Nani Kapono?
Nani Kapono. Missionary church, yes.
It was a missionary church,
yes,
at the time. And in that church, somebody said to you, you need to go to Bible college.
No.
Who spoke?
I wanted to.
You had already had that settled in your mind. Where did that come from? What was the roots of that?
When I was 5 years old, I got the calling from God. My mother and I were sitting in a car, and in the old days, in fact, there's a guy named Nakatani, Damon Nakatani,
Kauai,
and it was his family that had a laundromat, and the old Hawaiians, you know, we never have washers and dryers, so we went to the laundromat, or the washerette, we call it, and because we have big Hawaiian families, you had a kapu, all the washers. And then you had a kapu. And so my mom, every 2 weeks we would wash clothes. 10 kids. Yeah. So we would bundle them in the sheets, put them in the back of the car or the station wagon, go to Nakatani's and do laundry. What's interesting, because back then, you know, you put the dimes in the quarters.
Yeah.
That's how my mom practiced for Vegas. Yeah. It's that wrist action, you know. So we're sitting in the car waiting for the clothes to wash. Hey, we do this every Sunday. And this man walks by, and he has a white shirt with that's dirty and some holes, and he's jeans, and he has holes, and he has no footwear. I never see his face, but he walks right by me on the passenger side. And my mother says to me, "Do you know who that man was?" I said, "I have no idea." And she says, "That's our neighbor's brother who was a priest." And in that car, I said, "That's what I'm going to be." And if you know the people I graduated in high school with, now that we have Facebook, they come and they say, I remember in the fifth grade when you said you were going to be a minister. And I wasn't even a Christian yet. But it was already planted. And so I had to go to school.
Okay. So here you go. I'm just, track with me.
Yes.
You're 5 years old in the back of the car next to Michael's Bakery.
Miles Bakery, yeah.
Miles is Miles. Okay. So, yeah, and a man walks by and you say, I want to be just like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
From the 5 years old to graduated from high school,
mm-hmm.
what did you do to progress toward becoming a minister?
You know, for me, it was going to church. After I got saved, I went through campus life in high school. They introduced me to Christ. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And Sunday, the next Sunday, I got up and my mom said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. And she said, where? I said, the church. And she said, you going to church? I said, yeah, I'm going to church. She said, take your brother with you. And that was the beginning. And I met the great fellowship mentors. Mm-hmm. And I still can name the five men.
That's what I'm looking for.
That mentored me.
Come on, who are they?
And Bob Searle, Mitchell Chiave, Terry Centeno, Paul Ching, and Iokia. Boogie. Yeah. And Clarence Adams and all these other. But when I became a Christian, I hung around these guys and we spent time praying with each other. And so to watch my P's and Q's, this is in the back of my head. I did not want to do something that would offend them.
That's right. That's good.
I did not want to disappoint my mentors. And so I try to keep my nose clean.
What was your age when you realized that?
What?
I didn't want to disappoint my mentors.
18.
Okay, close to the end of your time there.
Yes.
Yeah, graduate. And I by graduated. That time, you'd selected your university.
Yes, because I asked college. The pastors if, what, because they had a conference in Indiana. I said, when you come back, bring me an application.
Amen.
And I signed it, and they said, hey, welcome. And it was January. Actually, I left in January. I'd never been to Indiana. I thought Indiana was closer to California. I was wrong. And, yeah, so this is January, and it's snowing. It's winter. I didn't know what winter was. So I'm leaving on the 747, United Airlines, and I got a Hawaiian shirt on, blue, with flowers. That's it. And all of a sudden, we get to Fort Wayne, and I see this guy's pushing steps. I'm like, wait, don't they have the attached to the door, and then you walk through the corridor? No. There was two guys pushing steps, and I'm like, we're not getting out of the plane, are we? We did get out of the plane.
To the ramp.
Yeah.
Right to the ground.
Into the terminal.
Yeah.
So we had to walk out of the plane into the terminal. It was so cold, the flowers on my shirt fell. I just had a plain shirt because the flowers like right behind me. Did I have warm underwear? Or long underwear? No. They never told me. I had BVDs. So anyways, that was my first experience in Indiana. And it was cold. I'm 19, and you know what? I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because if I went to school in California, I wouldn't go to class. But in Indiana, you had to go to the library because that was the warmest place on the campus, was the library. And so I spent a lot of time and studied, graduated in 3.5 years.
And then? That's Bible college. That's 4 years, 3.5 years. You met Kendall.
I met my wife.
In college, right?
Yes.
And you guys used to hang out in the library together?
Yeah.
Because it got warmer. I realized that.
Oh, pastor.
Yeah, flowers grew back, yeah.
What are you implying?
No,
but Kendall and I, our first meeting was in 1977 when we went down to the cafeteria. We got our food. We didn't know each other, and we sat across each other. And so, you know, the first thing is, so what is your major? And she told me she wanted to go to be a Christian education major with a minor in mission. And she asked me, what are you going to, I want to be a minister. And that was our last conversation. 2 years later.
Marriage.
No.
Close.
But 2 years later.
You're a slow bugger.
We started dating. And my desire was I needed somebody with missions.
Amen.
And I needed somebody with Christian education.
Yeah.
Before we even had this conversation, and God fulfilled the desire.
Amen.
And she wanted to marry a pastor.
Oh, you had decided that. Pre-college? Like 5 years old when a woman walked by the car? No. Sorry, getting carried away. None of that. Okay, so you're graduating from college.
I graduated Bible college.
Before, as most seniors in college do, you start preparing for what's next.
Yes.
And this was where you had the conversation with somebody about, what? You want me to go to get my MDiv?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that person convinced you you needed to go apply.
Yes.
And who was it that selected the school for that?
Actually, I did. The good news is that the denomination was going to pay for it.
Missionary.
No. The Church is a God.
Oh, Church is
but,
a God.
But think about this. I was planning to go to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, which is not the capital of Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because from that school, you had to spend 1 year of residency, and you could choose any seminary in the world.
Ooh.
And I was looking at Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I could have gone to Oxford, Cambridge, anywhere. And the Lord said, no, you're not. Mm. And so our denomination. Oh, so I went to a General Baptist school, and they were graduates of the theological school in Louisville.
Okay.
So I had a Southern Baptist education.
All right.
And but they keep pushing you. The professors, are you going to go to the next level and the next level? And I said, sure.
Okay, so I know people are asking, why am I doing this?
Yeah, why are you doing this?
Because, not I said people, not you. Come here. I want people. Part of what pastors are called to do is inspire young people to dream.
That's right.
To trust God for more. And you are. We talked about this yesterday. You're a letter written to the church.
Mm.
And I'm just expounding, getting you to talk about what's written on the pages of your book, your life, so that people will understand and begin to accept the idea. See, one of the things that I'm convinced of is there might be a bunch of people out here who are not youth anymore, but they know youth.
Yes.
And they can be walking by a car one day and inspire somebody to turn their life completely over to the Lord.
Exactly.
And they never had it on their mind, even at 5 years of age. So here you are today. You say you served in two small churches.
Yes.
Then you went to a big church. What was the big church was after, what, 18 years or something like that, in the two small churches?
11 years.
In the two small. He was serving two churches simultaneously, preaching.
Yeah, and then going to seminary.
And going to school. And then you got your MDiv, and you said, this place is too small for me.
Actually, the church told me to leave. Yeah.
Go home, boy.
And they said, you've outgrown us.
Serious.
Yeah.
The elders in the church said,
says, you've outgrown
move
us.
On, boy, there's more for you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Then where'd you go?
I went to Syracuse, Indiana, took a church over there, didn't like it. And I told Kent just when we were unloading, I'm not going to like this place. And I didn't. But that's a good church.
Still is.
We just didn't fit. And then the third church that we had, there were.
The fourth.
The fourth church.
Yeah.
Fort Wayne. Went to that church. And, you know, you go from a bigger size church, nobody goes to a smaller church. And the smaller church was around 42 people. 75% were elderly.
That's good.
And they have two families with kids. That's it. And let me tell you something. I remember some of the guys, and I was the president of the Indiana Conference. You're talking about the churches from the north all the way to the south. I was the head guy.
How many churches?
200? No, not that many. I can't. A bunch, big churches. Oh, 30, 80. But what happened was, I applied for that church.
Oh. They had an opening.
And all the bigger churches pastor says, who's going to take that church? I didn't tell them I was going because they would have called me an idiot spiritually. You're a spiritual idiot. And I said, yeah. And so we took the church. And we were there 7 years because I told them right at the beginning, I'm only going to be here 7 years because after the doctoral work, I'm flying back. We're coming back to Hawaii. And so that church went through three pastors in 4 years. And you know what that tells me? They're hurting. So when I came in, because the three pastors, they wanted to change things. So when I got there, they went like this. What are you going to change, Pastor? I said, nothing. And they're even more confused because when they're going to pay you and you say you're not going to do anything, why are we paying you? But what I meant was, I'm just here to love you. You know, when you love people, they become creative. When you love people, they say, let's go. When you abuse people, they're afraid to do anything. And they're afraid of the pastor. We don't know what he wants. But if you love people enough, they take charge. And so the church grew. And grew and grew and grew. We built a huge facility on the west side called the Community Center, attached to the church. Income was coming in like crazy. My 7 years are up.
Now what?
Maui.
You actually left at 7 years?
Yeah. I told them I was. They didn't believe me. In fact, they said, oh, so we thought you were going to be here longer. I gave you 7 years. I told you that from the very beginning.
Wow.
And I'm coming home.
Coming home.
To Maui.
To Kahana Dorothy.
No. That came about, you know. Remember that turbulent years of Maui?
How long were you on Maui before I met you?
Before you met me, yeah. We came home in 2003.
Oh, that's quite a while. I came in 2013, I think, was my first visit.
Yeah.
11? I started here 2012, September 2012.
See, the number 12. See, is April,
right?
12.
The years fly
12
by.
12 days of Christmas.
The reason I bring that
apostles.
Up, the reason I bring that up, he's pastoring Kahana. And I go, and I want to talk to him because I want to find out what his thoughts are. And he says, I don't have any thoughts. I'm just going to preach, and somebody else is going to do everything else. That doesn't sound like church to me. You know? That doesn't sound like the pastor's position. Hence, so I'll close with this.
Yeah.
He is now an elder in the church that he's fulfilling a mission that God has given to him that's still not over, but I wanted him to express to you where he came from so that you would get an understanding that where you are could be just the beginning of where God wants to take you. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought a five-year-old boy from Nanakuli would have had those kinds of experiences, gone to those kinds of schools without a parent? Now, one thing that really got me, five men who kind of adopted him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of churches that have that kind of scenario where five men just love and encourage young boys to be more and to do more. That's what the church is looking for. Can I hear an amen? Now, the Bible says there you'll have many teachers, but very few fathers and mothers. I got to tell you, our youth today are hungry for spiritual moms and dads that will encourage them and pour into lives. And this guy is that kind of guy. On Maui, he is ministering to kids that, how many kids you got that go to Kamehameha?
Oh, 40.
Can you believe he's building He's building something that's going to transform maybe Maui, but big part of the Hawaiian kingdom, the Hawaiian family, if you will, for years to come, coming out of. And they're excelling at not only academics, but athletics.
Yes.
They're all over the place. And all because he's serious about where he came from, that kids can go to those same places or similar places, and God can use them as well. Can you buy into that? Yeah? So I just thank you for your commitment, brother.
Well, we do push education.
Yeah, sure you do.
And community support. We had a family come a couple years ago, and I asked the question. I didn't ask the question, like, why you guys are here. Mm-hmm. I said, so you guys like, do you like Kahana Door Faith? And the mom said, yes. Why? Can you tell me why?
Yeah,
and question. This is what she said. Because you talk to my sons.
Ooh. Powerful. Be encouraged.
We were at other churches, and the pastors would never talk to my children. Mm. And I spend time talking to the young people. In fact, this morning I was talking to, raise your hand, if Stacy's son. And
Joshua?
Yeah. They were passing bulletins on, over back there. Just talking to them about maybe like 20 minutes. Just talking to them about life. But that's what you got to do. And when you do that, just talk to the, you know, I know you're busy, but we're in the people business,
yeah.
Right? Just
yeah.
Talk to them.
So give Kahu a hand, right? Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Love you. Love you. We're going to move to our next phase here. We got a couple more minutes, and we're going to close with you getting to see and hear a little bit from each pastor. We'll give them a 15-minute time period for eight pastors. That's 8 times 50 is 40. 120 minutes. No, we're going to. Let me introduce to you our secretary, Pastor Choila Naoni from Nanakuli Door of Faith Mission. Come on, give her a hand. Really? Honoto? Hontoni? You know what Hontoni is? Huh? Is it today a special day for you?
No, it passed.
What passed? Huh? Something with four in it? Yeah, can you tell everybody what it was?
Mm-hmm. He's asking me questions, right?
Yeah, I'm asking you questions.
He wants to find out. Yeah. You're looking at me, I have a lay on. It was given to me by one of the families from the Nanakuli Door of Faith Mission. On November 4th, I had just celebrated 72 years of life.
Hallelujah! You're a young lady yet, huh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, yes, you are. Now, let me say this. Pastor Choilan is our secretary for the Door of Faith Church and Bible School, Inc., which is our corporate organization, okay? And what we normally do at these conferences, she takes us on a tour of all the churches. So we're going to just take a few minutes. She's going to call on each pastor. They're going to stand, and they have a scripture verse to repeat, but you get to see who they are. So at lunch, you can go bug them when they're eating, okay? You know who they are. Okay, you got it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go.
Oh, I have a question for you. We have formers. Can I still call
Yes, them? Absolutely.
Very much. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It is an honor and privilege to be here and to gather together under one roof as the Door of Faith Church and Bible School, Inc. You've got to remember that we are one, okay? We do have different branch, and we come from different islands, but God is still God, and the foundation that was the foundation that we have here, as Kahu said, April 12, 1937, is when this foundation. But if you were inquisitive enough, when you were at the traffic light, turning here, there's that building. Right now, it has like a store. It has like a liquor store and stuff. Actually, that building housed the first church of Door of Faith. That's where Pastor Mildred had. And one thing that Kahu had said, being able to talk to youth, young ones. Pastor Mildred Rostek, her first converts were kids, children because they had nothing and they were being taken care of by grandmas and aunties. And so they were like the neighborhood kids. And when she needed help, guess who helped her? Was the neighborhood kids. And that was their her first. Information. Okay, so with this organization, we do have, our founder was Pastor Mildred J. Brostick, and she had come in, the Lord had called her to Hawaii. And I must say one thing, when God called her to come here from the mainland, when she did, she never left. She did not leave. She would go to visit. She would go to different places where she held crusades or she ministered. But she always came home until she passed. She is still here in Hawaii. So with that, her son, Peter Brostick, he is the chairman of our board. And I do know that he's not here, but he is the only child that's left of our Pastor Mildred Brostick. She had three children. Peter was the oldest, then June, and then Bunton. But they had already passed before Pastor Mildred did. But Peter is still alive and well, and we still, as a board, we still encourage him to know and understand he's still part of this organization. So the next is we do have a president of the board. He is also the senior pastor of this facility here, the Door of Faith, Honolulu, and that is none other than our Pastor John Rogers. Go for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. On our board, we do have a general treasurer. He also comes from this facility, Door of Faith Honolulu, and that is our Pastor Darren Lum. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do have a general director, and he is located on the island of Maui, way in the boonies of Huelo. And it is called the Huelo Dorfe Church. And that is Pastor Rick Trier. He's not here today, but I needed to acknowledge him also. Now, you go to the Nanakuli Door of Faith Mission, and the general secretary there is myself, and I'm Pastor Choylan Naoni. And my scripture is always found in Matthew 6:33, as it says, but seek ye first, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Then all the things that you and I will need shall be given. But you see, you and I, we've got to seek. We've got to do our part. And so, praise the Lord. We have two other branches here in the island of Oahu. Let's go over the mountains to Kaneohe Door of Faith Church. And that is our Pastor Timothy Alexander. Amen. Now let's go to Waihewa. If you're in Waihewa and you're on California Avenue, if you're starting from the bottom going up, We are the last church, but we're going to start from the top. So when we start, the first church that you will hit is the Waihua Door of Faith Church, and that is our pastor, Stephen Zariello. Praise the Lord. So we're leaving the island of Oahu and we're going to Kauai. And in Kauai, we have a church there way on the west side, the hot side. And that is called the Ke Kaha Door of Faith Church. Brother Chandler. Okay, he left. So Kahu had shared something and he mentioned Nakatani. So Nakatani family is a big name for us in Nanukuli. It's a family that started the school. I mean, they had stores, they had gas station, they had drive-in, they had laundromat. You name it, they had it. But it was a big family there. And one of the things I must share with you was in Nanukuli, we didn't have rich people. But in their grocery store, During the week, what they would do is they would let the families charge. They would purchase food. They were able to charge. And when they got paid, they would come in and they would pay their bills. And so when he mentioned the Nakatani family, there is one of the grandsons, and that's Damien. He relocated there in Ke Kaha, and God has been using him there as one of the elders that's there at Ke Kaha. So we go from Kauai, and we're now going to Molokai. On Molokai, we do have a church, a branch there, and that is the Calvary Door of Faith Church, and the pastor is Pastor Joseph Kalipi. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then from Molokai, we will go to the island of Maui. And on the west side again, there is a church that's called the Kahana Door of Faith Church. And that's where our speaker today represents. And that's our David Kafuku, or Kahu.
Thank you very much. It's only Elvis. This is taking longer than my sermon. But anyways, my wife will share her verse. And then you can see how beautiful she is.
Aww, that's so sweet. God is so good. And my life verse I chose when I rededicated my life to the Lord at age 17. I chose the verse Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen.
Pillar one? No, I'm just kidding.
Praise the Lord. And then we had branches, but we do still have a property that's there on the Big Island. But this morning, I'm honored and blessed to introduce to you two former pastors. The first one is Pastor Jane Donner. She was the pastor of our Hilo Dorfe Church, which we had sold the property to another church that's called Connect Point Church. And today, she is a vital member there. Yes. Pastor Jane? That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a branch church, or we had. It was called the Waimea Dorfe Church. Today it's being leased out by the Inspire Church. But the pastor is Pastor Mary Pio. She is now retired, and she's relocated to Minoli'i. Okay, so Pastor Mary. No. Things work together. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these are the leaders of the Dorfe Church and Bible School organization or movement. And when you think of a location, remember, there is an individual there that is working for the Lord. And so it is an honor, it is a privilege to just be able to be together as a body of Christ. And for me, coming out from Nanakuli Dorfe Mission, I too am very grateful and thankful that the congregant had joined to come this morning. May the Lord bless you one and all. Amen.
Okay, let's all stand. We're going to be dismissed to go downstairs for lunch in just a moment. I trust that you're hungry because there's been people, working real hard to prepare a good meal for you. But before we go, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to Pastor Choi Lan, okay? Let's go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Choi Lan. Happy birthday to you and many more. Hallelujah. Let's pray, Father. We give thanks to you for your goodness to us. We thank you as you bless all the churches, all the people that are in our churches. Lord, let us multiply by reaching those who don't know you. And in that, Father, your kingdom will be built. We praise you. We thank you for all the food downstairs that's been prepared for us. Bless us as we go now in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Go in peace. Hallelujah.